following program is a commentary program. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of Dale Jackson, his guests, and callers. They do not represent the views of Cumulus Broadcasting, its management, or this station. It's live. It's local. It's the Dale Jackson Show on News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Listen live online at WVNN.com and on iHeartRadio. Depend on it.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. News Time 7:07 here on your Friday morning. I'm Dale Jackson. Lots of stuff happening in the state of Alabama. Lots of interesting things happening in the state of Alabama. It seems like every few weeks, me and State Senator Arthur Orr get to talk about some very interesting happenings down there in Montgomery, happening in the other chamber, the State House. He's a state senator. He's here. He joins us. We'll talk about it. Senator Orr, good morning. Good to have you here. Thank you for being here.
Hey, glad to be here, Dale. And, you know, we'll tell you what we know, but I don't want to get into a lot of speculation, but certainly it's out there now.
Well, there's a couple of things that I kind of want to get into here on this issue of Representative Barry Moore. He's been indicted for four counts, providing false material and perjury, two of each. In the indictment, or at least when they lay it out, he basically was asked a couple of times, did you have a conversation with Pipkin? Yes or no? No. Okay, that's a lie. Did you have a conversation with Pipkin about Speaker Hubbard withholding economic development money and money for a community college and all these other things? Did you have those conversations with Joshua Pipkin, trying to push him out of the race, et cetera? So let's go back to the very base part of this. You've been a candidate. You had a very bloody knockdown, drag-out race your first time. I don't think you've had an opponent the last two times, but Have you ever had anyone come to you and say, listen, Arthur, look, I understand that you want to, you know, serve your community and you want to be a state senator, but maybe this isn't the time. Maybe you'll run next time and we'll endorse you next time you run. Have you ever had anyone say anything like that?
Other than my wife.
your wife offered up an endorsement if you stayed out?
No. Let's see. No, I haven't.
But does that happen? It happens the time where you try to convince people not to run so you can clear the field.
I can recall in 2000, and I guess it was a 2006 round, there was someone interested, very well connected in Marshall County, wanting to run against Hinton Mitchum. And former Senator Mitchum is now deceased, but they pulled all the stops out on this young, articulate, bright young man that wanted to be a candidate and run for the Senate. Senator Mitchum at the time was very vulnerable, being a Democrat in a very trending Republican area. And anyway, long story short, they hotboxed him to no end, and Senator Mitchum was involved with that, and convinced him now was not the time, and this was Senator Mitchum's last term, and it was. He hung up his hat for the 2010 cycle. But so, answer to your question, yes, that goes on quite frequently.
Does it go on to the degree that we saw it here in this audio clip? You hear very clearly, you hear Barry Moore say to Josh Pipkin, Speaker Hubbard's furious at you, and he's going to take it out of this entire community and cost him the job, cost us 100 jobs, and he's not going to fund this community college program. It makes no sense to do those things. B, this is Barry Moore talking. I don't know if Speaker Hubbard said those things. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Is that out of the norm to threaten jobs, threaten development, threaten special projects? Like, I could see it. This is how I would see it. I could see it if, like, the guy worked for a certain agency or something along those lines, and they were threatening to defund or threatening to send somewhere else. But what Moore said to Pipkin was, economic development dollars are coming here to Coffee County, and if you run, Speaker Hubbard is going to send them off somewhere else. That's essentially what he threatened. Is that out of the norm?
You know, that gets a little bit that gets a little bit different in my book. Now, what's the norm and what's not the norm? You're probably talking to the wrong person, because no telling what you get across the state in this with these various things. But when you start talking about state resources are or are not coming or things like that, you know, I can't say one way or another whether that's been used or in the norm. I mean, they're stories, Dale, and I'm sure there's some truth to them going back to the days of Governor Wallace, where he would, you know, senator or representative would not vote the way he wanted them to, and they were working on a road project in that person's district. Well, he'd pick up the phone and call the transportation director and say, pull all the bulldozers, all the road graders, all the equipment, put them on the highway, take them through the courthouse square of the town and move them over to another job site or another. And people, what's going on? Why are all these all this heavy equipment? Well, Senator Smith is not voting with Governor Wallace. So in the same vein, is that wrong on Governor Wallace? No, but, you know, it's just politics. So,
is it illegal?
Not that I know of.
And I guess that's the bigger question. Like, before we get into the Representative Barry Moore stuff, let's say, for example, Speaker Hubbard had this conversation with Barry Moore. And there's no evidence. I mean, Barry Moore lying, that evidence seems like it's just like, there it is. Here are the lies Barry Moore told. Here's the audio. Boom, 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 boom. It seems like they got him pretty much dead to right. Speaker Hubbard, on the other hand, there's really no evidence as of this point that this all went down. Is it illegal for me to say to someone who's trying to run for my seat or a friendly seat that I will move, if you do this, I will move these dollars? Is that illegal?
Not to my knowledge, no. And then, you know, to be honest, though, the speaker's position, you know, pro tem, these legislative positions have a lot of power. Don't get me wrong. When it comes to economic development dollars, that's usually not a decision made by the speaker or the pro tem. That's a governor's decision. That's not those decisions on, we're going to give Remington, you know, X amount of dollars to come to North Alabama, and we're going to give them these, you know, and then there's some statutory incentives and local abatements and things.
Greg Canfield's mentioned in this phone call.
Those are all done at the governor's level. They're not done in the legislative level. Now, having a legislator advocate and really lean on the governor or try to, you know, get more resources for projects, been there, done that. I mean, that's just part of advocating for your district. But the final call is the governor's.
And in these calls, he mentions his Greg Canfield, how him and Greg Canfield are real close, and how he carried a bill for Greg Canfield after he got appointed and all this stuff. And I mean, Barry Moore's laying it on.
Well, yeah. Maybe that's put pretty well. I mean, sometimes people overstate their perceived power in Montgomery and tend to believe, you know, that they have all these buttons that they can freely push and get certain reactions. And in my humble opinion, it just doesn't work that way.
Right. And let's just keep in mind, Barry Moore, the representative who is now under indictment, Senator Orr, he's a first-timer. I mean, I can't believe he wields massive amount of power down there. Is it possible all of this, is it possible / likely, I guess it's two questions, that Representative Moore had the power to pull off the things he was saying?
You know, anything's possible. You know, if he really worked against economic development dollars for Coffee County, all
his own district.
Because this other fellow was running. Sure, it's possible, and trying to sabotage whatever development might be coming off for his political ends. Surely possible, because he would have access to the governor, to the speaker, to the the development director Canfield. But at the end of the day, with most decisions that I've seen in the small world of Montgomery, the right decision or the best decision usually gets made in the long term. So if the project has merit, it's good, it's bringing jobs, usually you'll, despite the protests of one representative, you'll see the right decision getting made by the larger consensus group, which in this case would be the governor and the director of the Canfield and others, you know, that really do have the capability to make the call on these kind of decisions.
Have you ever heard of a representative working against economic development in his own district?
No.
Especially right before an election? That's the part of this that kind of makes no sense.
I think the representative probably got carried away and just started pulling out everything, you know, every argument he could out of his back pocket, whether he could back it up. It's like school kids in the schoolyard. You know, I can do this to you. You know, I'll push you down the mud. No, you won't. Yes, I can. You know that. I just think he was a lot of bull going on.
It's kind of like saying my brother will beat you and it's possible.
And mommy will call your mommy.
All right, my brother will beat you up, and it's possible your brother doesn't even know that you're out there throwing him around. So I look at this and I wonder, is there a smoking gun with Hubbard's fingerprints on it? I mean, it appears they're going for Hubbard. That's what this appears for.
What the Wren indictment
right.
appeared.
But it just, again, here's another piece. This one looks like Hubbard's involved in the conversation because his name is being used. But, we'll continue.
Well, let me tell you this. People throw around other people's names. Little old me, you know, my name gets thrown around, and again, I would not suggest that I'm number six in the state or all this big, you know, big powerful person that I'm supposed to be. But I have had people come to me and say, "Well, you know, I've heard you're against this bill. I'm told, you know, you're going, you know, and that's going to kill it." I said, "Yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about." But and I've had situations where other names are thrown around. You go to the higher power and say, "Are you against this or for it?" I don't even know what you're talking about. It's not so you got to be careful.
Okay.
People do that kind of stuff, and it is like you said, the big brother. Yeah, my big brother's going to beat you up.
We'll continue this conversation more with State Senator Arthur Orr about this, about what it means, what it could mean for elections, all those things. Stay tuned. More coming up. State Senator Arthur Orr will be here. It's the Dale Jackson Show, live and local, News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Depend on it. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. News Time, 7:27 here on your Friday morning. State Senator Arthur Orr joins us. We're talking a little bit about what's happening in the state of Alabama. The big news, Barry Moore indicted. He makes the second Republican lawmaker to go down in some way. And again, innocent until proven guilty and all that jazz. Greg Wren first, a state representative, and now, like I said, Representative Moore, four indictments. Senator Orr, let me ask this question. We've discussed the quid pro quo part of this. If you don't run, I'll bring jobs. I mean, I guess that's really not illegal because Josh Pipkin's not really getting anything out of that. Out of that deal, so there is no quid pro quo, really. It's just an empty threat.
Either way, you know, because if he doesn't run, then, you know, there's no way personally any of these people are benefiting, to my knowledge. And that's where quid pro quo becomes problematic or illegal when the parties personally or their family members, you know, businesses benefit from some kind of deal that's got or whatever.
I mean, it seems kind of like they brought Barry Moore in to talk about something else. Apparently, this conversation came up, and then they're like, "Boom, we got you." I mean, is that what this seems like?
Well, you know,
if he was doing something else, you think they'd have indicted him on that?
Well, it can be suggested that, you know, sometimes people that they attempt to go in and think that they can outsmart or outfox or whatever a grand jury and sell whatever they're selling to their story to a grand jury, but they don't have the ability to see what all the witnesses have said and how they've said it, et cetera. So the best best solution to that is just tell the truth and not try to hide or conceal or whatever the facts to protect anyone or to protect yourself.
Clearly, Moore had no idea this audio existed when he was there talking. I mean, that's clear. I mean, he went in there and basically said, I never talked to him, never had anything to do with that. And, oh, wait, now here it is.
Well, what gets troubling, and I know we've got a break coming up, but what gets troubling is how all this leaked out. And, you know, the proceedings are supposed to be confidential.
Representative
secret.
Ball talked about, we'll continue with that, because Representative Ball talked about that yesterday on my Birmingham show, and we'll talk about that here when we come back. Also, coming up, what time is Representative Hubbard coming on the program? Joe Hubbard, Representative Democrat, running for Attorney General, all sorts of stuff. He should be an interesting interview. He's coming up at 8:05 this morning. We'll continue with State Senator Arthur Orr right now on the Dale Jackson Show, WVNN.
The following program is a commentary program. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of Dale Jackson, his guests, and callers. They do not represent the views of Cumulus Broadcasting, its management, or this station.
I am doing this not to agitate you, but to save you from the doldrums of your own self-imposed inadequacy. You're welcome!
It's live. It's local. It's the Dale Jackson Show. On News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, WVNN.com, and on your smartphone on iHeartRadio.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, News Time 737 here on your Friday morning. I'm Dale Jackson. The phone numbers, if you want to get involved, 1-866-494-WVNN, 1-866-494-9866. We're having a conversation with Senator Orr, and the conversation's an interesting one, and it's one about indicted lawmakers and what exactly it means and what it means in the grand scheme of things. Senator Orr, before the break, brought up the fact, something that Representative Mike Ball brought up yesterday on my Birmingham show, and that was essentially, why is all this information coming out? Grand juries are supposed to be secret. Now, I've been before a grand jury, so I can speak to this just a tiny bit. Nobody knew anything about that grand jury that I didn't tell them. Nothing. And until it was completely over, then I told everybody. But there was nothing going on. There were no leaks or anything like that. This grand jury's been going on, God, it seems like, for months. Maybe even
over a year.
Over a year. Yeah. This information just seems to be flowing out freely. This tape was released of this phone call and all this other stuff. What do you take from that?
Well, I think you'll hear more and more, and you saw it a little bit in the statements coming out of Montgomery yesterday, the insinuation, not accusation, but the insinuation that perhaps this is becoming politically motivated. Now, you know, is that true or not? I don't know. But you may hear more of that if there are more indictments to follow. And so we'll see where it goes. But it is interesting that the timing, if they're going to bring them out slowly, you know, one every so often to keep it percolating, or rather than one day like the feds did with the gambling trials that we had back in, or indictments back in 2010, they did all that in one day, you know, in rounding up those that were going to be charged with the infractions for surrounding the gambling situation in Montgomery. So this is a little bit different tack. Of course, the primaries are right there, coming up here very shortly in a few weeks. And, you know, is there an intent to impact the primaries or not? I don't know. But that's certainly being talked about around Montgomery and around the state.
If you're in Montgomery, as you are sometimes, and you've been down there during this session, how much talk was going on about this case and about this this grand jury? Because, look, there have been members of the legislature, I'm sure, in both chambers, probably more so in the House, that have been called before this grand jury to have this conversation. As I understood it, originally it was about 2010 finances. That's how I took it, and it started there. I could be wrong there, but I thought it started 2010 finances. Then it morphed into something about Hubbard's business dealings, and now we're into 2014 elections. What is this thing?
You know, again,
and I say get them all. I'm not saying anything like
right,
that. But
right.
but what,
oh, yeah.
what's
you know,
happening here?
If the law has been broken, then certainly those that have broken it need to be held accountable. But you also you know want enough evidence to be there before charges are being brought in a public atmosphere. The you know, quite frankly, I think we'll know a lot more when it all breaks, but it does keep the anticipation out there. As far as how many conversations this last session occurred, Dale, I was not, you know, I didn't hear a lot about it. It was just that kind of unknown presence out there that people would occasionally refer to, but as far as a lot of deep, intense conversations, I certainly wasn't privy to any, and I don't know that it was just, you know, constantly being talked about among the legislators.
When the legislators are down there in Montgomery, you say it wasn't constantly being talked about. The reason why I ask if it was is because maybe that's how some of this conversation gets out about what's going on at this grand jury. Again, for the audio to be released, there's two angles. I mean, there's only two. Josh Pipkin had to release the audio. As to the guy who recorded it, if he was the one, he says he's not answering that question, or someone at the grand jury. I mean, those are your only two options, right?
You would think, unless he had a third party that helped record the conversation and they did it. But anyway, we don't know. What's interesting, though, if Pipkin did this in concert or under the direction of the investigators, why he would have released it, because ordinarily they'd say keep this quiet or don't release this or this is not public information, you know, this is an investigation, you know, it's our request to you that this be kept confidential. Well, that didn't happen. So then you get into, you know, something on the political reporter this week or last week regarding some Republican women's meeting down there, and he freely disclosed his participation in the investigation and all this other. That's unusual at this stage in the game. Now, eventually it all comes out. And so that gives the conspiracy theorists more to hang their hats on and say, oh, it's part of this grand cabal to take
sitting
legislators down.
In reality, it just seems like the obvious, that or what I perceive to be the obvious here, and the obvious as I would see it is, Pipkin released this thing because it makes Moore look awful. I mean, it really does. It here you have a guy who represents the district, and at best, the best way Moore could possibly spin this, and he's trying to say that this is all taken out of context. There's a lot of audio there to be taken out of context. I'd love to see what the much larger context of all this is. But the best thing he can say is, hey, listen, the only thing I was doing was trying to maintain my seat. And I was willing to do this. I was BSing. Mm-hmm. I was BSing this guy because I was scared to have a primary opponent. And that's pretty bad in itself. I mean, there's just, I don't know what the possible positive spin on this can be.
Well.
And I'm a coward because Hubbard controls me. I mean, that's essentially the other thing.
Well, it'll come out in the wash, and we'll see what happens. But, again, you have to look down the road and see, be wondering what other shoes are going to drop. This, I think, is somewhat of a rabbit trail. This is a kind of an isolated event. The charges are perjury. It's not related to the Medicaid funding situation that you saw in the budget, and that was, you know, Representative Wren's issue, not directly, because he only pled to something even different from that. And then you've got the 2010 campaign and how money was being raised and spent, that issue as well. And so this particular perjury charges aren't related to either one of those situations.
Yeah, and this grand jury seems to be going off on different, and this isn't a criticism, they're going off on different rabbit trails. Here we are, Greg Renz busted for personally profiting from legislative duties. He's busted. And then over here you have Representative Barry Moore screwing around, lying about some audio tapes, and I don't know what the purpose of the investigation is to that, but that's 2013. So now we got legislative duties, we got campaign issues, we've got personally, but I mean, this. I mean, maybe he just opened up a grand jury and just started investigating everything the legislature has ever done.
I'm not saying blame the grand jury because they're just acting on the information.
Right,
that
they're following the trails where they go.
Right, the prosecutors are the ones that are bringing this information to them, and then pointing to the act and saying this is a violation of this code. We think. What say you? Is there enough evidence here to bring charges? Here's the law. Here's the act. Now you compare them, grand jury, and tell us if we have enough evidence here of actions that would suggest that the law has been violated. And so the prosecutors are serving up. Certainly not the people sitting in the grand jury box.
Let me ask this: the grand jury. We think about the grand jury, and you know, a lot of us our knowledge of juries is what we see on TV. It's a bunch of people sitting in a box, and things like that.
Don't go there.
This hasn't been the same group of people just sitting in a room listening to all this, has it?
Oh yes.
These people not have lives? They've been on a grand jury for a year and a half. What's going on here?
Well, you know, that's part of being impaneled in a grand jury. But no, it is not a revolving.
It's the same people.
Group. Now, they may...
they're not meeting every day.
No. But they may have other grand juries in Lee County that are doing robberies and burglaries and those kind of charges. Mm-hmm. But this would be especially in panel grand jury to hear the charges in this Moore situation came up merely because they probably heard evidence that, you know, he claimed he did not talk to Pipkin. And then, we have an audio of you talking to him. We had Pipkin in here saying it was you talking to him, so you've perjured yourself. Again, this is a little running of a rabbit. And hey, was the law broken? You know, we'll see.
Seems like it.
But yeah, it would on the face of it seem like it. But you know, then if the law's been broken, then hold them accountable.
Well, it seems pretty clear what they were asking. Did Hubbard threaten to withhold? Did Hubbard threaten to do something with his legislative power to influence a campaign directly? And whether or not that's illegal or not is a whole other issue. And then they got to Barry Moore and said, do you remember this conversation? And he said, no. And they said, well, we have the audio. We got you. So then they just nailed him.
Well, yes, but you also don't know the motivations of the prosecutors. They may have been just trying to show in their opinions, the type person that they want to suggest that the speaker might be or what, you know, whatever. I can't say one way or the other, but why they went down this road in the first place. If the act of affecting a project for a candidate not to run or potential candidate not to run is not illegal. Now, if it's illegal, it's obvious, but I'm not a criminal lawyer.
Let's take a quick time out here. We will continue with State Senator Arthur Orr one more segment, and then Joe Hubbard will be joining us. We'll talk about some other things happening here in the Tennessee Valley next. Stay tuned. Live, local, News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Depend on it.
This segment of the Dale Jackson Show is brought to you by our friends at First Family Mortgage. Let First Family Mortgage help you with your house by calling Conrad today at 425-0105.
News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN News Time, 7:54 here on your Friday morning. Let's stop beating up on some Republicans here for a second and point out that Democrats.
Well, thank you, Mr. Jackson.
Democrats are getting pounded as well here in the state. A very interesting development, I guess. Education Department, no payroll deductions for AEA. I mean, I thought this was over. What happened here?
Well, the 11th Circuit, you know, ruled, and that's the court in Atlanta that covers Alabama, Georgia, and Florida, ruled that the injunction that was in place on this was unnecessary. So long story, the State Department of Education issued an edict a couple months ago to the local school boards where the checks are cut, you know, for educators to now quit allowing dues checkoffs for AEA and any other organizations that may practice political activities, and to get the state out of the business or government out of the business of collecting dues for organizations that want to influence politics.
Well, that only took 4 years. 4 years after the damn thing was passed. I mean, it's just, we are...
Three and a half. Who's counting? You know, so we'll see where it goes from here. But they're supposed to start implementing this. And every June is kind of when they do a new flip of the payroll. And so this would be taken out. And that's, of course, the lifeline of the Education Association, the teachers union.
So now that this is done, I mean, the court battle's over, all that stuff, right?
No, the court, no, that will soldier on. It's the injunction that is now, to my knowledge, gone away, and it's going to proceed. You know, they're going to take it out. But I think, you know, there is Supreme Court precedents that would say that taking money out of paychecks to be used for political activities, if states want to prohibit that, they certainly can.
I want to poke your legal mind here for a second. The Supreme Court ruling up in Michigan, or I guess in D.C., about the case in Michigan about affirmative action, and it basically says they can now, at least as I understand it, ban affirmative action in some processes if the voters agree. So who's going to be the first legislator in Alabama to run up and say, I got that bill here, constitutional amendment for Alabama. Who's going to be the first?
I'm sure there will be one. I would not doubt. A lot of times when there's hot-button issues like this that come out, people run down, not literally, but they, you know, try to get something drafted and get a press release out and jump on it. So it would not surprise me if that is something that we'll be reading about so in the weeks ahead.
Yeah, I would not be surprised to see that. Do you have any idea just what that could mean? Again, I'm pro gay marriage. I don't care. But has anyone said anything about what that could mean for gay marriage? Because I will say this: gay marriage is coming to Alabama, but it ain't coming through the courthouse or through the statehouse. It's coming through the courthouse. I mean, that's just the reality, in my opinion. They open up the door, though, a little bit. They crack the door just a little bit for bans on same-sex marriage to be upheld. I don't know if they'll go that far, but, essentially, if they're going to be consistent, they have opened up the door for that. What do you think about that?
Well, I think, you know, hard to tell, but I think using the full faith and credit clause of the Constitution, where you have some states that allow and some states that don't allow, what happens in the state, you know, when somebody moves and they want to get divorced and all that, that's one avenue available to them. Of course, the 14th Amendment, the Equal Protection Clause is something also that could be a venue or a way to go down that road. But all the prognosticators predict, as you did, that, you know, eventually at the U.S. Supreme Court level, you'll see gay marriage being allowed.
Just basically by court decree,
correct,
across the entire...
Just saying that, you know, it is a fundamental right, and for some states to disallow it, then that violates this fundamental right of marriage and between same sexes. And so, therefore, those states that have state constitutional amendments that would oppose it, like Alabama, must fall.
Are you hearing anything coming down the pipe? Anything coming down the pipe, other indictments or anything this in the next few weeks?
You hear a lot of rumors, and I'm going to run out the clock on you on that one because we don't need to delve in that. We've probably already done some of that already, but you do about expansion of the focus down there, going beyond these two things we talked about earlier, the Medicaid language and the 2010 money, just as it relates to some people. So we'll see, and just trust that justice is being pursued and not political agendas, and that that those that have violated the law will be held accountable for it. And that's the system that we have, and that's what we need to depend on.
State Senator Arthur Orr, thank you very much for joining us. Coming up next, Joe Hubbard, running for Attorney General, Democrat, state representative. Stay tuned. More coming up. Dale Jackson, WVNN. From the